1,000 times. But I looked at that, and I, that ain't the way you pronounce that. They call the wind Moriah. That can't be right. So I tried to correct myself. Mora and all this stuff. Well, gang, I'm losing it, okay? So pray for me, all right? Pray for me. You would think you'd get a little smarter as you get older, but I think you get obviously a little bit dumber as you start slipping a few gears, and I think I'm slipping a few. Well, I want to tell you, next Sunday, we'll have a Mother's Day message. We're getting close to the end of this series on Eat This Book, and this morning I'm going to talk about Eat This Book at First Bite, okay? And I'm going to go back, and what we're doing, we're looking at, in this part, in this rule, we're looking at the first mention of words in the Bible. The first mention. And not just the word, but the idea. And so this morning, we're going to look at a section of Scripture that contains some of those first mention. It's the first mention of sin. We see the first idea of murder. We see the first mention of the word blood. And we see also the idea of repentance involved. And it's the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. And I want to begin reading out of Genesis chapter 4 and verse 2 and read down through verse 10. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother? Or where is Abel your brother?" And he said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Let's pray. God, as we open your word, open our hearts that we might receive, Lord, this old story that has so much wisdom and insight for us. It's a description of families. It's a description of jealousy and envy and hatred and murder. And to think that the first child born of human parentage murdered his own brother. Lord, there's so many lessons we can barely scratch the surface. But help us, Lord, to make illustration and application to our own lives and to realize we are all guilty as sinners and in need of repentance. Now lead us today, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to lay on your heart again this rule that we looked at last week. The rule where I call it just rule number 13 because it's the 13th one that we've looked at as we're getting toward the end of this series. Recognize the law first mentioned in the Bible, which means that the first mention or an idea or word is introduced in the Bible is important. Last week, I appreciate Mary putting in our bulletin a list of a lot of some 40 of them that are mentioned in the Bible. And last week we looked at the first mention of the devil. We looked at the first lie. We looked at the first time the word love is used. We looked at the first time worship, the word worship is used. And this morning, I want to look at the big three. I want to look at sin, murder, and blood. And the story of these two brothers is the story of the first mention of the word sin. Now, it's not that the first sin occurred at the first mention. We know last week, and we looked at it, I'm glad we looked at it last week, because the first sin was committed when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, when he's told them not to eat of that forbidden fruit, and they did, and they disobeyed him, and immediately they brought death upon themselves and death upon the human race. Now, interesting thing about our Bible. Our Bible is the record of something that we don't hear about on social media hardly ever. We don't hear about on the news hardly ever. It's a word that's not thrown around, and in a lot of churches it's not even brought up, because it's not a word that people like to hear. It's a little word of three letters. S-I-N. Sin. Sin. The Bible is the record of sin. And we see early on, some 6,000 years ago, in the very beginning, things get bad, and they get bad real quickly. Everything that is wrong in this world is wrong because of that little word, sin. And we all qualify. And if we're ever going to lead someone to faith in Christ, in order to get them saved, you got to get them lost. And in order for them to understand their losses, they got to understand that they're sinners. They're sinners. And all of us, on the other side of that, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're sinners saved by the grace of God. So the way to understand the world in which we live in, and all the evil taking place, and all the hatred taking place, and all the murder taking place, and the death taking place, is this idea of sin. Now, we have some classic insight, I believe, in this story having to do with sin. You know, there are all kinds of shows on television about CSI, about, you know, murder and mayhem and so on and so forth. And it all stems back to the first murder by the name of Cain. Now, Cain's mother, Eve, was talked into sin, but remember, last week, by the serpent, by the devil. Now God is trying to talk Cain, excuse me, out of sin. Well, we see he's not able to do that. So that brings me to my first point I want to make here this morning, and we'll go back and look at this text again, the first mention of the word sin in Scripture. Notice, again, the Bible defines something important for us. The occupation of these two guys. One was, notice, Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, they came. And here, though the word is not mentioned, is the first worship service in the Bible. Here it is. In the process of time, they came. And it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. I'm in the presence of the Lord. You're in the presence of the Lord. You're here to worship. You're here to come into the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord was with you in your car. He was with you when you at your home, when you left, when you traveled. But we come into this sanctuary that's set apart for worship. Here they were. The one Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. He thought, well, you know, that's what I take care of. I'm a tiller of the ground. That's what I do. I produce. We have some wonderful people in our church that do put out a garden every year. And some of us really take advantage of that as they bring some of their produce into the church. I'm very grateful to that. Notice Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Now, here we see that people come along sometimes and scratch their head. Well, why didn't God accept? They both brought the best of what they had. One brought from their occupation, the other brought from the other. Well, again, behind the story is the fact that these boys had to have been taught by their parents a very important rule that we find in the last chapter, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, that notice also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. In other words, that's the first instance of death in the Bible. As these animals had to be sacrificed and lose their life, all right, in order again, to clothe their sin. Here we have the idea of redemption. Here we have an early picture. Remember one of the rules we talked about? All the Bible is about Jesus. Well, here we see Jesus. Jesus is our substitute. Jesus is our sacrifice. So we see this here. So here they are, and something had to die. So that redemption story had to have been planted in the head of both Cain and Abel. Now, Cain could have simply went to his brother Abel and said, "Hey, I know what we got to bring. You got to bring of your sacrifice, and I got to bring a sacrifice. You've got plenty. Let me bring again an animal to sacrifice too, because that's all God will accept." But what did Cain do? I want to show you up here on the board. Call it the Cain syndrome. "Lord, I won't give you what you want. I'll give you what I want." And we have all kind of people do that every week, every day of their life. "Well, you know what? I heard Marlon talking about in Sunday school time when I ducked in there for a little bit. You know how we, you know, well, I'm going to go fishing today. That's what I want on Sunday. But, you know, I can worship you here, Lord," even though, like the Bible says, that Jesus was faithful to go every week, you know, to the synagogue there when he's a Jewish boy growing up. "But I'll give you what I want. I won't give you what you want." All right. And that's the way a lot of, "Lord, bless what I already intend to do." Okay. That's their prayer life. And that's the way they live their life. So here we see this situation. And then back in verse 6, I want you to see. "So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry?'" You know, and he says, "Why has your countenance fallen?" In other words, why has your face fallen off? You've seen people. What is the matter with you? The Lord didn't like my offering. The Lord. Now remember, the Lord's not seeking information. He knows. He's trying to get Cain to look in the mirror, to check out his motivations. All right? He's trying to talk Cain out of taking this to the next level. Okay? To take it into hatred and to sin. So, we have actually in the next verse, and I've got three different little translations I want to share with you this morning. In the idea, here we have the first idea of repentance. God is asking Cain to repent. He knows what's going on in his mind. Cain, you know, we've talked about what is repentance. It is you're going this way, and you turn around, and you go the other way. You do a 180. So that's what he's trying to get him to do here. He says, "If you do well, will you not be accepted?" Is that asking too much of any of us? If you do well according to me, will you not be accepted? If you do well believing me and doing what is acceptable and pleasing to me, will you not be accepted? Don't you know that as long as you do what is right, then I accept you? Here is God, the first evangelist. He says you can go this way or you can go that way. All right? He's saying, take a look. Check your motives. Take a look at yourself. Why are you so angry? Why are you so angry with your brother? Why are you so angry with me? Just do right. Just do the right thing. It's not that complicated. And then notice, I go on to the next portion of this verse, verse 7. "And if you do not do well," here's the other avenue. Sin lies at the door. Literally, every day of our life, that's an explanation of our lives. We can go one way or we can go the other way. It's the open door policy. We can open ourselves up to it or we can close our door to it. We can let sin in or we can close it out, all right? And he's saying here, think about what he's saying. He's saying, you know, if you do well, sin lies at the door. It's just waiting to pounce on you. You know, the scriptures describe the devil as a lion that roameth about seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to have Cain for lunch. He's trying to devour him. And all of us, you know, what may be a temptation to you is no temptation to me. You know, so I live in glass house and so do you. I got no right to throw rocks at you because you have, I never have a problem with that. I never have any, no, I've got my own issues. You've got your own. And accountability is at the heart here. We need also other people in our lives to see things that maybe we might be susceptible to who will come along and say, hey, I understand you're struggling right now. The Bible says confess your faults to one another. So this is an opportunity for Cain to repent. Which one will he open the door to? Will he close the door or will he open it up? I like someone who wrote a little poem I want to share with you this morning. Who is it? Knock so loud, a lonely little sin. Slip through, I answered, and soon all hell was in. Well, that's what we see here. And the Bible warns of this over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. And it says, neither give place to the devil. In other words, don't throw out the welcome mat to him. Don't open the door to him. Don't let him in to your life. I mean, it ain't too long till he's got a foothold, and then he's got a stronghold, and then he's got a stranglehold, okay? He's a trespasser, unless you open the door to him, like Cain did. And so, realize it right now, there is a battle going on, and we need to be in the midst of that battle praying for those people who are lost, who need Christ in their lives. There's a war going on. Now, I go on. Notice back in our text in our this morning, and it is, and its desire, that is sin's desire, that is Satan's desire, is for you. But notice, you can rule over it. You are in control. You can make the decision. You won't be able to say, the devil made me do it. No, you will make the choice ultimately. That's why one day when we stand before God, we're not going to be able to say, well, you know, I was this way because of the home I grew up in. I went into this because of this or that or this or that. It's their fault. No, the finger points at you. At you. He says, don't let it master you. It wants to control you. Don't do it. John Owens, the old Puritan, said, be killing sin or sin be killing you. All right? And that's what's, again, the temptation. And don't ever say never. Oh, I would never do that. I mean, that's just like tempting the devil. You're tempting the devil in that situation. You're saying, go ahead and try to make me do it. Try to make me do it. Well, here is Cain. He's on the brink of destroying his own life and destroying the life of his brother. There's still time to change. What will Cain do? I mean, Cain couldn't be talked out of sin, though, unfortunately. Even, now listen, by God. I mean, you talk about having the best counselor you could ever have. And here he has God, and God can't talk him out of it because point number two I want to share with you this morning is we have the first murder in the Bible. Now, we don't have that word murder, but we have the act of murder. Notice, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then I want to share with you a couple other verses behind the scenes of that verse in John 10 and verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. In John 8 and verse 44, the words of Jesus, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And here he is doing what he likes to do. He's using, as the great puppet master, he's using someone else to do his dirty work. Now, let's think about it. When did this take place? This murder took place right after a worship service. It's like, hey, church is over. What am I going to do? I'm not going to eat. I'm going to go kill my brother. Why? I didn't like the way that the church this morning congratulated him. I didn't like the way that they put a spotlight on him. I'm jealous of him. I'm jealous of him. So I'm going to take him out. You know, it's well been said, and we have a lot of evidence, that some of the worst atrocities in the history of mankind have centered around religion. What was 9-1-1, all right? But what religion was it? False religion, all right? False religion. So, first murder took place after a worship service. And then, here's another thing. The first murder took place within the family. Within the family. Cain killed his brother. I couldn't emphasize it enough, but in the verses I read to you this morning, it says it over and over again, your brother, our brother, your brother, our brother, talking about Cain and his brother Abel, over and over again. The technical term, fratricide. You know, you've heard a fraternal order, a brotherly order. Well, here is the first fratricide. You know, I saw, and speaking of these CSI shows, I saw a show the other day. It was one of those 48 hours. And we, me and Carolyn, we will record something we want to watch so we can watch it later and buzz through the commercials. Well, this, the storm happened the other night, I think it was last weekend. We tried to watch it, and Doug Hedy kept cutting in on our show. Shame on him. That show was way more important than any tornadoes coming in this area. Amen, right? Anyway, this was happened over in Hayes County, Kansas. And the story of this guy calls up and his wife has shot herself with a .357 Magnum. And he's a mess. You know, he's a mess and he's crying, I can't believe it. Anyway, the end of the story was, through pictures, through life insurance that he had, the .357 was on his over on his side of the dresser where he kept it. He said she had it and took this .357 and shot herself. Can you imagine the .357? All right. Then the strange thing was the gun was placed right on top of her stomach. All right. So you talk about fratricide. Well, what about killing your best friend, your wife? This was a young couple. Threw his life away. He was found guilty and ended her life. Let me tell you what. It's amazing that the first murder mentioned in the Bible was within the family. God is pro-life, okay? He created life. Cain is the beginning of a movement that we see all the time in our world today. He's pro-choice, see? Cain wants to have the choice whether a family member will live or die, okay? Now, we have something in that same family, it's called abortion. Abortion, all right? They call it reproductive rights. They don't even really like, don't use that word abortion as much as they try to get away from it. But one party this year is running on their main topic is abortion. Abortion rights. And they demonize the Abels who want to live and who want the children to live, they demonize them and call them the Nazis that would dare take away the right of a woman to kill her baby. It's Cain and Abel all over again. Even though last year Roe versus Wade was struck down, over 1 million babies were murdered last year. That is the highest figure I was reading in the last decade. In the last 10 years, one in every 5 births is an abortion. And I want to share with you a stat up here on this subject. Now in the United States, there are 19 states that have no restriction on abortion. Up until 15 minutes before birthing, you can destroy the unborn in 19 states. Why does God allow us to even exist as a country? Why are we still here? You talk about how can people be so heartless? It's Cain. I'll do what I want to do, and I'll justify it. 14 states have intense restrictions where it is very hard to get an abortion. Missouri is one of them, thank the Lord. 17 states are in the middle. They have some restrictions, but abortion is accessible. So 36 states in the union, you can now get an abortion. There is no state that bans abortion completely. I was amazed to hear on the radio yesterday, one particular lady that Trump, I guess, was considering as his VP is the governor of South Dakota, all right? Her name is Kristi Noem. You know why she's probably going to be kicked out of the running? Because she admitted in a book or admitted in a story that she killed her dog. She killed her dog. And so now she's probably out of the running because you don't kill your dog, but you go ahead and kill your baby. Dogs are more valuable. How many? I've lamented about it on Facebook. You see all this stuff about dogs, about adopting a dog, how about adopting a child? How about saving a child? How about bringing a child out of a bad circumstance and bringing that child into your home? When was the last time you seen any commercials on TV about adoption? Okay? Listen, Christians have one choice. It's only one choice. Obey the Lord. And Deuteronomy tells us, choose life, all right? So, a week ago, on the 23rd, our president said this: the Supreme Court was wrong. Abortion should be a constitutional right in the federal constitution, a federal right. And it shouldn't matter where in America you live. This isn't about state rights. It's about women's rights. So Mr. Biden says, I'm pro-death, I'm pro-murder, and I'm pro-Cain. All right? It's the taking of an innocent life. Innocent life. And as I want to put up here on the screen, it is a sick world when one family member gets to decide whether another family member gets to live or die. And that's what we're reading about when we read about Cain and Abel, and it's still taking place. You know what the problem is in our country? Sex is God. And as I want to point out here up on the screen, when sex is God, then what happens? That's the God we worship, and children are the demonic sacrifice we make. The demonic sacrifice that we make. You know, the leading cause of death last year was not heart disease. The leading cause of death last year was not cancer. The leading cause of death during the COVID crisis was not COVID. The leading cause of death every year is abortion. Abortion. And so we see the slimy serpent still leaving his trail. And what does Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 36 tell us? But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and all those who hate me love death. Do you see that? Do you see that? It's so sad when people are so deceived. The deceived. And we talked about the devil last week, how he was thrown out of heaven, and how he was thrown out of heaven. Why? Because he was jealous and envious of God. And so here is one of his disciples, one of his converts, Cain, and what's going on with him? He's jealous of his brother. And the Bible tells us why he murdered him. I want you to see three verses that tie this up, that describe this situation in the New Testament. That you may come all the righteous that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth from the blood of righteous Abel. Notice 1 John 3:12. Cain, who was of the wicked one, I wonder who that is, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. See, that is why they crucified Christ. Abel is a picture of a true victim. And sometimes we're in that category. I think all of us at one time, if we've lived long enough, we've been falsely accused of something, all right? We didn't do. Nothing we instigated, all right? And we're hated, okay? Someone is trying to hurt us, but we didn't hurt them, okay? Somebody is against us, But we didn't do anything against them. That's Abel. He didn't do anything. What made Abel sick was that his brother was well, okay? And you can't make yourself sick in order to make somebody else well when it comes to righteousness. You can't, well, I'm going to start living wrong so I'll please my brother, so I'll please the world. That's the way the world lives. Then, here is our God, still that amazing song, Amazing Grace, about that amazing thing that God is full of, and that is grace, grace upon grace. He gives Cain another chance, another chance. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9, notice, then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? Where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. And here's one of the famous lines from the Bible. Am I my brother's keeper? Is it my job to babysit him? Is it my job to watch out for him? I don't think so. I don't think so. It's not my job. We've heard that before, haven't we? Not my job. Okay? Here in this situation. I want to tell you what. As a church family, it is our job to watch one another. Watch out for one another. We hear this term used today, I got your back. Right? I got your back. All right? Well, here in the family, nobody had Abel's back. And that's why in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. It always starts with hatred, doesn't it? You know, you don't get this too often, but in church, I want to quote that great theologian, Clint Eastwood. All right? Clint Eastwood said, and I changed one word a little bit, okay? It's a heck of a thing killing a man. Take away all he's got and all he's ever going to have. And you stop and think of, I thought I described that 48 hours a while ago. This young girl who had the choice forced on her. This is your last day. Your husband that took vows with you to protect you and to love you and to, again, be there for you. He's going to kill you. He's going to shoot you with a gun. Your life is going to end. We're never going to know if you ever were going to have children. We're never going to know what occupation, any of these things you would have fulfilled in your life. It's all going to be taken away from you. And that leads me to my third and final point here this morning. And that is the first mention of blood in the Bible. The first mention of the word blood. And notice, and he said, here is God saying, what have you done? What have you, will Cain tell the truth? What have you, the voice of your brother's blood. Now we talked about figure of speech. His blood obviously wasn't literally talking, but it was talking to God. And I want to tell you what, the blood of abortion is talking to God. It's talking to God. And notice, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Ground. Now, what have you done? What have you done, Cain? You know, what did God do? He told his parents, don't sin. Obey me. What did they do? They sinned and disobeyed. What did their first child do? He sinned. He disobeyed God. Here is another fall. We had the fall of the whole human race in the last chapter. Here, another fall. And what does he try to do? What do all murderers try to do? He tries to cover it up. He says, your brother's blood is crying from the ground. He's done what? Well, here's the crime scene investigation. He's killed him some way. He didn't have a .357, okay? People say, you get rid of the guns, man. You won't have no murder. Fooey on that. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. Amen. Here we see. What does he do? He digs a hole. He puts him and covers it up. What happens all the time that you see? You know, and it blows my mind sometimes that somebody is not found guilty because they destroy somebody's body to the point or bury it somewhere where they can't find it. So, well, we don't have a body. Okay. Well, God's got a body. You know, I don't have to watch it rain to know if it rained. If the ground's wet out there, I know it rained. I don't have to watch it. I know it happened. He's saying your brother's blood. And he follows the progression that Paul lists there in Romans chapter 3. I want you to see this. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's the epitaph of Cain. Of Cain. Now, think about this. Let's think about ourselves for a minute. This is 6,000 years ago. Here's Cain, and what's he do in essence? I'm innocent. Never heard that before, have you? I'm amazed. They'll have you on tape doing it, and they'll still plead, not guilty. Not guilty. Now, but let's think about ourselves. If we get in trouble with the law, what do we want? We want the best lawyer we can get. All right? We want a lighter sentence. Oh, you just don't know my boy. He's really a good boy. He just did a bad turn this time. Okay? You look at Cain's background. He had no criminal record. There are only four people on the earth. They look at him. Hey, he passed everything. All right? We what? Within us, in our fallen nature, we want to beat the rap. We want to get a light sentence because let me tell you something, and I want to share it up here on the screen so that you it'll reinforce yourself. Sin always justifies itself. Always. How? I know I did it, but I didn't mean to do it. I'm sorry I did it. I'm sorry I got caught doing it. Notice, and we can justify anything we do, even murder. And a constant theme, particularly in the book of Proverbs, but not just the book of Proverbs, is every way of a man is right in his own eyes. That's self-justification. I had a reason I did it. I got a good reason I did it. Won't you believe me, Judge? Notice, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Think about it. Somewhere today, I'm in a conflict, but with my siblings, it's their fault. I mean, we go from the instance of Abel where we're the innocent victim to my parents, it's my parents' fault. It's my friend's fault. It's my spouse's fault. It's my boss's fault. It's my teacher's fault. But whose fault is it? It's your fault. Your fault. See, sometimes we're the sick person like Cain, and Abel is the well person. Sometimes we're the angry person, and the other person is the forgiving person. And sometimes we're the bitter person, and they are the loving person. What I'm getting at is sometimes we're Cain and sometimes we're Abel. There's an old story. I want to begin to wrap this up. There's an old story of a king who is visiting this slave ship. Now, this was back in the days when, you know, I was thinking about this story. These kids went onto these college campuses. And have you seen some of the after effects? I mean, they spray painted, they tore stuff, they left litter all over everywhere. It was like Woodstock at a concert, you know, all this junk. And what do? They cart them down to the jail, they print them up, and then they what? Oh, they bond out. They ought to take them right back down there to clean up the mess that they made, okay? They used to make people do that, okay? You made the mess, you pick it up. Well, reminded me of this story. This king, he was visiting this slave galley, and what these prisoners were doing was they were the engine of the ship. They were the oarsmen on this ship. And he began to visit with a lot of these convicted individuals. And he asked this first man, he said, "Why are you here?" And the prisoner said, "I'm here, not really my own fault. The reason I'm here is because I was framed and I wasn't guilty, but I was lied against in a court of law. And the king said, oh, that's tragic. What a shame. Then he went to another one. And this next guy said, "What?" He asked him, well, why are you here? And the prisoner said, your honor, I'm like the other man. I'm innocent. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time when the crime was committed. And I was arrested with the others. Have mercy on me. And the king said, oh, that's tragic. Tragic that you were in such a situation. He went to each individual person, and they all had a reason or excuse for why they were there. And finally, he came up to this one individual, and he said, why are you here? And this man said, sire, I'm here because I'm a criminal. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against my fellow man, and I'm suffering my just reward for what I've done. When the king heard that, he said, you rascal, what are you doing among so many honest men? Guards, release him at once. You know, what could Cain have done? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Have mercy on me, God. I've done a terrible, horrible thing. And what does the blood of Christ do? It cleanses us from all sin. All means all, and that's all means. All sin. But in the end, I want to lay three verses on you here as we finish this morning. First of all, that one, be sure your sin will find you out. We're not going to get away with anything. I talked a few weeks ago about O.J. dying. Well, O.J. didn't get away with anything. He didn't get away with anything. He might have beat the rap for the most part here, but if he committed those atrocities, those heinous crimes, if he killed those individuals, he'll pay for that. And then, listen to what God's court says over in James chapter 2 and verse 13. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. See, if we don't cry out, oh God, have mercy on me. You know, it's amazing. And I guess this is part of our fallen nature too. Is that we want mercy when the sentence comes, but we don't want to give mercy when we're committing the crime against the individual. See, you can't have it both ways. It's what they call a double standard. You might get away with that in a human court, but you're not going to get away with it in God's court. And the last thing I want to share with you this morning up here on the screen is these two verses. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That's what we're trying to get people to do. That's how we try to get somebody to faith in Christ. Judge yourself. Take a real good look at yourself. What did Jesus say? Murder was not actually committing the crime. It was having hatred in your heart. That was murder. Everyone who hates his brother, we just quoted from 1 John, is a murderer. All right? If we would judge ourselves, and then Proverbs 3, verse 7, last verse, do not be wise in your own eyes. Again, don't try to justify yourself. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And what is the story? Here was God trying to get Cain to do that very thing. And I wonder sometimes as I think that God couldn't talk him out of it. Obviously, if God can't talk you out of it, nobody can talk you out of it. And sometimes you lay the word of God on people's hearts and you're amazed that they can still turn a deaf ear. It's like the guy I seen, heard about, was in court. On one ear he had tattooed in, on the other ear he had out. And that's how he lived his life. It went in one ear and out the other, all right? He never woke up. He never listened to God. Here, God is saying, I'm giving you a choice. We're going to have an invitation if you'll stand with us this morning.